another episode of the Sacred Cocoon Podcast. This is Lottie, and I will be your host today. So, today I want to talk about something that can be quite controversial, I think, in the tarot world, and not just in tarot, but also in healing and in spiritual work in general, I think. I was trying to decide the delineations I wanted to give it there, but yeah, I think I'm going to say in kind of spiritual workings in general, which can be, you know, tarot reading, oracle reading, any kind of divination reading. You could include palm reading here, tea leaves. You could also include Reiki in this, I think, energy work, energy healing. I think you could also include in this witchcraft, you know, especially workings for other people. And so what I want to talk about today in relation to those things is the topic of money. And money is a, like I said, a big thing in this kind of area. It can be a very controversial thing. Specifically when we start looking at charging money for our services, and the big questions that tend to come up around this is, should we charge money? Should we not charge money? Is it ethical to charge money? Is it unethical? Is it right? Is it fair? All of those things. And as a professional tarot reader, professional energy worker and witch and healer and, you know, all that good stuff, I obviously do charge for my services. I do charge for my readings, but I really do want to come at this from an unbiased point of view, as unbiased as I can, and kind of talk about, you know, areas that I believe we should charge money and areas that I think, you know, maybe we don't need to charge money or shouldn't charge money, or I wouldn't charge money. So I want to say before I get into it too that I hate the word should. I hate it. if you've had a reading with me, or it's just spoken to me in general, you've probably heard me go on a rant about this at least once, because it just makes me prickle when I hear someone say, oh, you should do this, you shouldn't do that, etc., etc., because I don't know, that's when we start getting into shoulds and shouldn'ts, it just gets really subjective. I find those words very rarely seem to come about in regards to anything that isn't like a subjective viewpoint. And so it's like, you might have a certain view or a certain feeling that, oh, I should do this, or I shouldn't do that, but then it might be different for someone else. And so I just have difficulties with those words. I don't like it. And so anything that I say here, you know, as always, is my point of view, and I recognize that it might not apply to everyone. Just the same way that I think nobody's personal things necessarily apply to every single person in the same way. But with this episode and with all of my episodes, what I'm really wanting to do is to just put out there something that might help people who are looking for this kind of information. And specifically, I want to gear this towards people who are readers, people who are energy workers or healers, you know, etc. And hopefully it can be helpful to people that are looking for resources on this. I think a lot of the people that are listening to this podcast are fellow readers or fellow energy workers, healers, and so on. And that's the feedback I've gotten, at least, so far. And it makes me really happy to be able to be a space, to create a space. I myself am a space. but to be able to create the space where people can come and feel like someone, you know, has their back and understands them and wants to help them. And that's what I'm trying to do. So yeah, I got off on a little bit of a tangent there, but to get to the money thing. So, oof, money. So people have a really hard time with money. And that is not by any means just a spiritual thing at all. I think money is just, it's one of those things that is part of everyday life for most people, and it just can cause a lot of hang-ups. It can have a lot of feelings attached to it. We can, there's a lot of struggle with money and things, and it's just kind of a sticky topic. And I have to say, before I get into anything else, that the way that I think about money has changed a lot in like the past 10 years, probably, maybe a little bit more than that. And that I used to have a very, very negative view of money. I was scared of money, to be honest. I'm notoriously terrible with numbers anyway, and everyone laughs at me for that. I don't have a brain for numbers at all. Even basic math, I just suck at it. I used to feel scared of money, and I noticed that when I was really scared about money, such as, where's my money gonna come from? What am I making money with? Should I make money with this? Is this right or wrong or whatever? I was always stressed about it, always. Like, if I felt or thought about money, I would feel bad. And if I thought about it longer, I would feel upset. And I can't tell you how many times I cried over money. Because, I was really scared of it. And it took one of my very dear friends, who was in a very different financial situation from me. She's older than me, and she had, she was a musician, and I don't know if I want to name names or not. But anyway, she was successful, and she'd made a lot of money. She was very comfortable with money, and she really taught me to change the way that I saw money. She taught me to see money as an energetic thing, and to kind of divorce from the concept of money emotions. So she kind of helped me and taught me, money is an energy, and so it actually isn't, it's neutral, it's not good or bad. Anything that goes on to money, like any views about money, money's evil, money's good, etc., etc., that's all human things that we put on it. But the energy of money is just energy. It's a form of energy. That's it. There's nothing else to it. That form is not an evil thing. It's not a bad thing. And I think it's important here to acknowledge that there's a lot of privilege that goes on with money, a lot of privilege. As a white person, I feel that, I have a lot of privilege when it comes to money. So I want to say that here too, that whatever I am saying, whatever I'm speaking, I always try to be aware that I am coming from a place of privilege in a sense of being white. I'm also, I am cis. So it's, what goes for me and how I see things and how money, is for me and how I'm treated with money and so on and so forth, it's going to be very different, and I acknowledge that, very different than a lot of other people. If you're not white, if you're not cis, and all sorts of other things that go on, then money could very definitely be a very different thing. And there is inequality there, and there is inequality in terms of struggle and access and privilege. So I want to acknowledge that that absolutely is a thing, and I know that. So I think that's important. With spirituality and in the spiritual sphere, there can be a lot of bypassing about money and about what we have, and the whole abundance mindset and law of attraction, etc., etc. I'm not really going to talk about law of attraction because it's not really my thing. I don't really know. But I think there's a lot of bypassing that goes on that kind of gives this idea of like, oh, you know, we live in a world where everything is equal for everyone, and so if you don't have something, it's because you did something. It's, and I absolutely don't believe that. Would it be wonderful to live in a world where it was absolutely fair for everyone and everyone had the equal opportunity to have access to, you know, resources, to have access to money, to have access to food and basic life needs and all of that? Yeah, it would be absolutely great. That would be perfect. But is it that way? No. And I think it's really wrong to try to bypass that fact that it's not like that right now in order to live in this world where we're like, oh, you know, well, I would love it to be this way, so I'm just going to act as though it is this way. Because I don't think that serves, for one, I don't think that really serves anyone, because we're willfully choosing to like look away from people that don't have the resources that we might have in order, and I'm speaking as a white person here specifically, that we might have because we don't want to look at that and we don't want to deal with it. And it feels really wrong to me. Like, we should be looking at how to support other people, how to help them. And yeah, we can absolutely work on making the world the way we want it to be and to make it equal and to make it be fair for everyone, but that doesn't involve bypassing the things that we do that, you know, create part of the problem. Like, that doesn't involve sticking our head in the sand and saying, well, I don't have anything to do with that, it's not me. It is us. It is, you know? Like, we're involved with it, so we need to look at that. But all that to say, anyway, that I recognize the place that I'm coming from in terms of privilege, and I'm always still learning too. Definitely, I never want to claim or give this idea that I know everything or like I think that I'm perfect and I get it all right all the time, because I know I definitely don't. But I always want to do better, and I want to be aware of things and all of that. But with all that said, where was I? Talking about money. Oh yeah, the energy thing. When I started to, from my perspective, to see money in terms of having not having a specific good or bad energy in and of itself, and that a lot of the ways that I was thinking about money in my own life and the way I treated money and the feelings I had towards it really like impacted what I then felt or received about money, was it really changed things when I started looking at that. And I realized around that time too that I was really scared of actually charging money for what I did. Like, I didn't have trouble with the concept of charging money, you know, to go and work at a job. Like, I worked in retail and I didn't have any issue with getting paid there. In fact, like, if I hadn't been paid, I wouldn't have been doing it. But I did definitely struggle with the idea of like making money and charging money through like the things that I was good at outside of that, which was reading and energy work and healing and those things. And I definitely had a lot of hang-ups about that, and I was scared of charging money for that. And the way that it manifested was interesting. Looking back at it, it manifested as like a fear that I was, if I charged money and I made money, then I was basically not able to handle it. Like, I wasn't mature enough and I didn't know enough to be able to handle the money, and it would just get me in trouble. And so it's like I would sabotage myself and not let myself make money from it. Because I just had this fear that like if I make money doing this, I didn't really have an ethical problem with necessarily charging money for a reading, but it was like I personally felt that I would just instantly do something like terrible, even though I had no idea what that was. But it was like, just having this money is gonna make me be in trouble. And that's something that I think a lot of people actually have. And I would challenge you to look at your own feelings about money and see if that might be a thing for you. Because I didn't realize that that was a thing for me for a long time. And then when I finally uncovered it, I was like, whoa. You know, it was a big thing for me, because I went through times definitely when I did readings and I didn't charge money for them, or I didn't want to charge money, or I did want to charge money and then I felt bad for wanting to charge money, or I would you know, say, okay, let's trade, and it would be for, you know, I'll trade you a reading for a piece of art or something like that. And I want to be clear that I've done that and absolutely loved it. I've definitely done it with friends who, you know, we maybe didn't have the means to, like, necessarily be able to purchase each other's work. So, you know, I couldn't afford what their paintings cost maybe, and they couldn't afford what my work cost. But we could trade with each other, and that was a fair trade. And it did feel fair. But I've definitely had times when I've said, oh yeah, I'll trade, and I've traded usually, you know, more for like, I'm trying to think of what I've even done it for now, like makeup or something, right? And that actually doesn't, it didn't really feel right to me at the time. I was only really saying, let's trade for this, let's do this trade, because I didn't want to ask for money. But the thing is, makeup doesn't pay the bills. Food doesn't pay the bills. Like, it's really nice, and I think if you can work something out and it feels good to you, then a trade can be good in that sense of, like, we're trading equal things back and forward. But, you know, if this is what you're making a living at, then at the moment, with the way we are in society, we've got to make money to be able to pay for our bills. And I can't pay for bills with, you know, a massage or yeah, whatever, a book. You need to make sure that your costs are covered first, and then maybe look at, you know, trading or figure out a way to make sure that your costs are covered first. So looking at charging then for these, you know, readings, healing, whatever it is that you're doing, is it right? Is it ethical? I think that's always going to be a subjective thing, because there's no one that can say, yes, it absolutely is ethical, or no, it's absolutely not. And that's where you get that, like, back and forth. And there's people who are very, you know, vehement about both sides of it. But I believe that it can be, and it is ethical to charge for those things, because they require just as much work and energy as any other kind of work that you wouldn't think twice about being compensated for. It's like, if I'm going to go to work for 8 hours and work at a cash register, should I be paid? Yeah, absolutely. I think most people can agree with that. Well, if I go to work and I do 8 hours of readings where I'm giving spiritual guidance and I'm using the skills that I've worked on for years and years, and I'm able to help someone, and they go away from that session feeling like, now I know what I'm going to do, and they feel better, is it right to be paid for that? I think it is. I don't think there's an issue with that. I don't think there's a question with that. People, the thing that I hear most often about, oh, you shouldn't charge for this, the reason people give is it's not your gift to give. Like, it's a spiritual gift, and therefore you're just, you know, passing information through, or you're just, like, looking at the cards and interpreting them. So you shouldn't make money off that because it doesn't come from you. And my response to that would be, okay, yeah, I see what you're saying. I'm not God, you know, or I'm not spirit, or I'm part of that, but I'm not that. The information isn't coming directly from me, in the way that I do readings. No, usually for me it's coming from people's spirit guides or something like that, and that is in spirit. So yes, I agree, that information is coming through me. But my work and the work I've put into being able to give good readings, be able to give good sessions, good healing, etc., that is me. You know, I didn't just, like, wake up one day and I was just good at reading. I had to practice a lot. I had to buy the decks. I had to buy the books. I had to spend a lot of time developing my skills. I had to basically, like, I had to put money into learning how to give a good reading, because there's ways to give a good reading and ways to not. I had to learn how to be able to, you know, tell a story, like, carry that story through, make it make sense. I had to learn, how do you counsel people? How do you, you know, stay present and hold space with people when they're going through a difficult time and not, like, dive into your own personal stuff? I had to learn all of that. I had to learn how to channel. I had to build up my stamina for being able to do that work. Like, when I first started doing it, I could do, you know, maybe 2 readings, and then I was knackered. I was done for the day. And I've built up to being able to do, you know, maybe 8 readings in a day now. So yeah, all of those things, that is me. I have worked for that. And it's the same amount of work and energy that I put into it as anyone in any job is doing that should be paid. And so I do think I should be paid for that. Now, do I think that all readings have to be paid with money? No. I think you can definitely come to an agreement where, you know, it's not a money thing, where, you know, maybe it's like 2 readers get together and they read for each other. If I had another reader that I was reading with, I might, you know, agree to not have money involved, because we're trading something that can help each other. Maybe, you know, if it's a friend, yeah, I might not charge them. We might sit down and sling cards together and talk about it, and I might even give them a reading and it not be like we're doing it together and then we talk about it. But yeah, I might not charge money there. People who I know really can't afford it, and especially if I put myself in the position of like offering my services to them, seeking them out and saying, look, like, I want to do this reading for you, would I charge money? No, that to me just feel really wrong. But the key thing there is that I would be seeking out, I would be putting my services out there and advertising myself as like, here's what I'm offering for this thing, for, you know, this type of person. So for example, someone who doesn't have the money to be able to pay my usual rates, you know, I might say, okay, I'm doing 3 readings for this certain thing, or whatever it is. Like, that I don't have an issue with, but I do think it's important to have boundaries with that and to be able to say, this is where I'm willing to do free work, this is where I'm willing to do trade work, etc., and this is where I'm not willing to do it. And there's no like ethical thing about me charging for money or not. Like, me charging for my readings isn't to say that, like, that is bad and my giving it away is, or trading it, or like giving it as a charity thing or something like that is good. Like, I think they're both good. And you get a lot of this thing of like, yeah, going back to what I said of this, like, oh, it's not your gift to give, so you receiving money for it is a bad thing. Like, I see that a lot in lots of different ways. And to that, I would just say, okay, well then, for one, I'm not the reader for you, because I realize that I need to make money to live, and this is what I do for a living, and I'm good at it, and I will give you a good reading that you will benefit from, and so I need to receive energy back in kind, which is in money. But also, go and learn to do it yourself. If you don't want to pay someone to do it, but you want, you know, the what comes with someone who's put a lot of practice into it, then go and learn to do it. Go and do it yourself. I think everyone can do it, so go learn. And I don't have an issue with that. Like, go and learn. You don't have to come to me. You don't have to pay me. There's, you know, I have plenty of clients, and always going to have more people coming who do fit with me and do want to have that like reciprocal energy where they pay me and they're happy to. So I don't have an issue if you don't want to pay me, but it does not mean that I owe you a reading in any sense, for any reason. I don't owe you a reading, okay? And this is the same for you. If you're a reader, you do not owe someone just because they don't want to pay you, or, you know, necessarily if they just don't have the means to be able to afford what you charge. It doesn't mean that you owe them something, or that you should do it. I think the thing with like a lot of spiritual work is some of it can be really expensive, and I know my prices aren't the cheapest. They're also not the most expensive. I do try and keep my work affordable for what I think it's worth and accessible. But yeah, there are some people who, yeah, they have $5. Well, none of my readings are $5, and I won't do a reading for $5. So, like, that's, then my services aren't for that person. And it can be difficult, because then you get into the area of, like, looking at, well, you know, when does someone not have they only have $5 for a reading and I don't do one, and so I turn them away, versus when someone doesn't have $5 for a reading, or they only have that and I take that on. I think I would say, if someone only has $5 for a reading, then I wouldn't be charging them for a reading, because like, if I decided that was something I wanted to do, I just wouldn't charge them for that reading, because I think if they only had $5 for a reading, they probably need to spend that $5 on something else, and I don't want to take that money from them. But I definitely would only do that in certain cases. You know, if you can afford to go buy, like, the new paperback book that you wanted, but you can't afford more than $5 for a reading, then sorry, I'm not going to do it, because you chose to spend that excess, like, income, or whatever it's called, expendable income, you chose to spend that on a book. You did have it, and you were going to do it for something that is for pleasure, essentially, and you chose to spend it on the book rather than spend it on a reading. So that's a choice thing, that's a decision that you made. So could you afford a $10 reading? I still don't do $10 readings, but like, could you save up and spend, you know, $30 on a reading? Yes. But you made a choice to spend it on something else, which is completely fine. I don't have an issue with that. But that means that you could have paid me for the reading, and therefore I'm not going to do it for less than that. Does that make sense? So what else is there here? Trying to think what else I've got to say. I get off and, like, I start going, and then my brain just goes and goes, and then I stop and think about it, and it's like, oh wow, I can't think what else I was gonna say here. Okay, so I think I'm actually gonna go to the ad break now, and then when I come back, I'm gonna talk about things like reading by donation, and things like that, and what I think about that and how I feel about that, etc. All right. Or donation-based readings and that kind of thing, and what I think about it, and what I suggest. So this is most commonly seen for tarot, at least in my experience, and I most often see this online, like on social media, so Instagram, for example. It's really common to see people doing readings either by donation or for free. And I've actually just started doing, like, a kind of, I'm trying to make it more regular, put regular daily tarot, daily reading, etc., where I post a couple cards and I do a quick reading based on those cards for everyone. That's a public reading and it's free. Do I think that, okay, so I'm not gonna, like I said before, I'm not gonna go with should, because that's my personal thing. So I'm not gonna say should you or shouldn't you, that's neither here nor there. Would I do donation-based readings? No. Have I done donation-based readings? Yes. And this is actually why I wouldn't do them anymore. I don't think that donation-based readings are the best way to use your skills. I do think there's a place for them, but here's what I would suggest. If you're up to doing donation-based readings, which, if you don't know, a donation-based reading just means that you leave it up to the person that you're reading for to pay you either, you know, however much they want, or you suggest the donations. If you're feeling ready to do that, please, please, please just go ahead and start charging for readings, okay? Have a set price for a certain length of time. Don't do it by donation, and here's why. Here's the first thing. People very often don't know what they should pay for something, and they get scared, and they don't want to lowball you, or they don't want to overpay, maybe, and they have no idea what they should pay, and they won't approach you. So first things first, you might not get that many inquiries, you might not get that many potential clients, because I know if I see donation-based reading, I'm like, I have no idea how much that is. Like, I have no idea. And I don't want to suggest something to you and it be like, whoa, that's way too little, you know, or whatever. I would rather pay for a reading. I would rather know what it costs and, you know, decide for myself, do I want to pay that or not? So I would rather see this is an hour reading and it's going to cost you, you know, $70. Okay, awesome. Yeah, I really want to have an hour long reading with this person. I'm going to pay $70. Whatever, it's $120, it's $300. Yeah, sure. You know, if I really want to have it with that person, either, yes, I would wait until I can afford it, or I would save up and I would do it, and I would happily pay that. With donations, I have no idea what that is. Yeah, you might not get anyone who wants to do that because they don't know how much that is. The other thing is with donations, that donation suggests that, to me, it always sounds like the donation is optional. So, you know, donations, we've got this idea of in our head about the word donations and what it means, that we can donate, we can give money, but, you know, if I can't, for example, or I don't want to, whatever, then I don't have to, and you're still going to give me that reading. So you get this expectation of either like, oh yeah, I'll give you a dollar and you'll do, you know, 10 card reading for me, which is not fair. That's not a fair use of your energy. Please don't do it. Or nah, I'm not going to give you anything. I don't have a lot of money right now. I can't afford it, but you'll still give me the reading, which also not fair, not a fair energy exchange at all there. So again, please don't do that. It sets you up to either receive not enough for what you're doing or to receive nothing. And you'll tend to find that's when people will come to you with, if you make it an option or it's possible that like, oh yeah, I might do this for free, or I might, you know, make it a lot cheaper, people will stop, they'll come to you with that in mind, like, oh yeah, I can come to them if I can't, or I just don't want to. And again, that can be sticky, because I think there are people who really can't afford a reading who probably would benefit from one. And would I do that? Would I work with someone in that circumstance? Yes, I think so. It would have to be a very specific case, but I would do it. With, you know, provisos, I think. But when you put it out online in like a mass place, and it's this, you don't have space to like explain maybe what your terms are in regards to that, then you're gonna attract people who want to pay you as little as they possibly can for whatever reason. And it might be that they don't have a lot of money, or it might be that they're cheap. It's possible. There's, especially online, you're competing with a lot of people who are either really, really cheap and I think underselling themselves, or doing it for free and might be willing to do a personal private reading for free. So yeah, again, it just, to me, it doesn't work. The other thing is, legally, a donation-based reading is not tax exempt, okay? So you still have to declare that on taxes. If you make money through readings that way, it is not seen as a donation legally in the same sense as like, oh, I donated clothes to Goodwill or something like that, okay? They are set up to receive donations. You are not. You are a person selling a service, and whatever money you receive for it, whether or not you call it a donation or not, it's not a donation. You still have to tax it. So then think about the fact that you have to sit there and do your taxes, or you have to pay for an accountant, or, you know, whatever, to do your taxes at the end of the year. Should it still be free then, or should it still be only $5 when you take into account that you're going to have to do that work? I don't think it should be. And another thing is, I think that it can be kind of damaging to the community, especially professional readers, when you get people that are like way undercharging, because then it makes it look like, you know, it should be that much. And that's when you start to get people saying, well, you know, why don't you do this like hour long reading for me for $5, because so and so does it for that much. And like, it's, there's this implication of like, you're greedy if you do it for more than that, or you charge more than that. And I don't think that's right. So yeah, being really, really inexpensive. I think if you're starting out, and you're just getting confident and you just want to, you know, charge a couple of dollars for a reading because you're starting and you're learning, and yeah, maybe, you know, with that in mind, saying like, oh, you know, I'm starting and I want to get more experience, so I want to do this for less money, that's fine. But I think it can be really, really damaging to undercharge for yourself, because a lot of the time it comes down to confidence, and yeah, it can start getting into the realm of like, well, you should charge this much. The other thing is, if you're, you know, feel competent to be a reader, a professional reader, to do readings for someone, and you charge $5 for that, you know, 1 hour reading, then it's really hard later to kind of say, okay, now I'm going to charge, you know, $60 for that reading, because someone's going to say, well, you know, before you were charging $5 and now it's $60. I mean, you probably wouldn't ramp up that fast, but you know, why, what's changed, what's different? And what's changed is that you're valuing your time and the amount of work and the resources that you're using, etc., appropriately, I think. And so you're charging appropriately. But, you know, can you explain that to that person who's given you grief about it? Probably not. And I don't think you should be, you know, don't subject yourself to being attacked like that, because I don't think it's worth it. I don't think it's fair. Also, the people that, you know, maybe only want to pay you $5 for a big reading, they probably aren't the same people who are going to be willing to pay $60 for a reading. It's, you know, that's a big gap in terms of that disposable income. And yeah, that person who can afford $5 just might not be able to afford $60. And so it's not a thing, like a judgment on how good of a person they are or anything, but you need to look at what money you need to make in order to be able to live. You know, if you're doing this professionally, how much do you need to make? If you're doing it part-time, how much do you need to make? That's going to be different than, you know, if you're doing it for a little bit of extra pocket money. Like, you would charge differently. You might be happy to look at like different clients who have different means. But if you need to be making a full-time income, or you need to be making that part-time income, etc., then you need to be aiming at people who can afford those prices. Unfortunately, that's what you have to do in order to make that money, is aim and use your time wisely. Because here's the thing, if I spend 6 hours giving $5 readings to people who can only afford $5, or I give, you know, I spend those 6 hours giving $60 readings for all 6 hours to people that can afford that, what do I come out with? You know, how much more money do I come out with? That, yeah, I am a professional reader. I need that. I need that money. I have to pay bills. I have to pay for my house. I have to, you know, pay for food. And all of those things, not to mention the other things that, yeah, I they're not necessities, but just to cover necessities, I need to make a certain amount of money. So I need to be spending that time more wisely. It's not a value judgment on the person, and I think this is something important to look at with reading, because I think people get really uncomfortable with this, and they think that they're making a value judgment about someone if they say, I can't read for you, you know, I need to be able to charge more money. It's not a value judgment. You're not saying that person is bad for not being able to afford it. Someone isn't bad if they don't want to afford it, okay? That's not saying that they're a bad person, but it does mean that they're not the right client for you. They don't have what you need from your end to make it a fair energy exchange, to make it equal and balanced. And here's another thing with energy. You can't give and not receive. Energy goes backward and forward. Every time you give, you have to receive something. And if you don't, and you put up a block and you say, no, I'm not willing to receive money, or I don't want to charge, I don't feel confident like charging, so I'm not going to, but I'm going to give that and do the best, but I'm not going to take it. You're making an imbalance there, and it gets really funky. So either you're going to get burned out, you're going to not have any energy and you won't be able to keep doing those readings, or you're going to get sick from doing it, or like the person coming to you, and I think this is something that people think less about, it's going to feel kind of some weird funkiness about coming to you for a reading and they don't know why, because it doesn't really mess up the energy in like a necessary logical way. It's like, if you're going, okay, well, I don't really want to charge money because I just want to help people, and I don't want to charge, you're thinking, well, if I do that, I'm going to be helping people, so I'm just going to do that. The people coming to you, here's the thing, a lot of people don't want what they think is charity. They don't want you to just help them and they not give you anything back, because it makes them feel like they don't have anything to give you. And everyone has something to be able to give back, right? So if you're like, oh, I don't want to charge because you're poor, which is what you're saying to them essentially in that sense, then does that feel good? Like, imagine if someone said that to you. Oh, you know, I'm taking pity on you because you don't have enough money, so I'm not going to charge you. Does it feel good? No. You might, you know, not go to that person because they made you feel crap, to be honest. Like, if someone said that to me, like, oh, let me just give this to you because you don't have enough for it, I'd be like, nah, I don't want it. Like, don't, no. I'd rather you don't give it to me then, because I don't want to be seen in that way. You have to empower people to feel good about themselves, and that can and often does include receiving something for your gifts, for your abilities or whatever, for your reading. People want to give you something. So when you put something in the way of that and you block yourself, they either won't come to you, or you'll get people coming who are kind of confused about what the terms are, and you can get more issues of like, okay, well, I thought you said this, and then but then it was like this, and etc. It's just not good. it makes it really funky, trust me. I've been there, and I've also had many clients who are also readers and friends come and say, well, like, why did this happen? And I'm like, what's going on with your charging? What do you charge? You know, and if you're too scared to tell me what you charge, or you don't know what you charge, that's your problem. Like, that's what you need to look at. You need to get confident about charging. You need to be confident about charging money, basically. So then, what was the other thing I was going to talk about? You see, I keep doing this. I should write things down. Apart from the fact that I record with my eyes closed a lot of the time. Oh, one last thing that I was going to say. Okay, so sometimes if you're a reader and you know, you find that you have that intuitive ability and you give good readings and you get people saying either that they want readings with you, or, oh, that was really helpful, but you don't feel confident in that you're experienced enough to be able to charge for it, what do you do? Right? So you want to build up, but you don't want to charge money yet. Is it okay to give free readings then? Yeah, I think then it is, because you're saying, that's basically what you're getting out of it. So you have to ask yourself, like, is this really enough for me to be getting out of it right now? Is the experience, maybe the reviews, you know, the feedback, if that's enough because you're building up your being able to give readings, then great, go ahead and do it. You know, advertise online that you're doing free readings, that I promise you 3 million people will want to have readings with you. And you can put that's the proviso of like, oh, you know, I give you a reading, you give me feedback, or whatever it is. You can also look at like doing free readings online with like different tarot sites. I know, I'm trying to think who's a good example here. The only one I can think of is Biddy Tarot, and I think that has to be part of their course, so it's not really a free thing to sign up with. But I know there are places that you can sign up to give free readings in order to, you know, build up your expertise and build up your experience. And I think that's okay. Like I was saying before, it's when you get to the point where you feel comfortable asking for money, then please just start charging, like, aptly. don't do the donations, just go to charging, because that's when it gets messy. The other thing that I was going to say there is, oh yeah, this is just a tip, really. When you're charging money, charge for time. Don't charge for cards. And here's why. A lot of people who come for tarot readings or any kind of reading, any kind of healing, etc., whatever, they don't know how many cards they need because they're not a reader. Most people that come for a reading are not readers. Or if they are, they're, you know, they dabble in it. It's a bit of a hobby, but they would describe themselves as not having, you know, they need to look at the book. They need to look at outside sources for the help, whatever. They feel like they're a beginner. Because they're coming to you, usually, because you have more experience. You have built up that experience of being able to read for someone else and to have the fluency of doing it, which is another skill, by the way, that you learn and deserves to be paid, is you build up the fluency of being able to look at those cards, look at that person, look at what's going on for them or their question, and put everything together in that puzzle and explain to them and give them guidance that makes sense. So that's what they're coming to you for. But they don't know, for one, they probably don't know what a spread is. They might not even know what a spread is at all, or they might not know what a kind of spread is or what it's good for. So if you say, okay, I charge, you know, for 10 cards, it's this much, because 10 cards is a traditional Celtic cross, etc., that person's probably lost if you're explaining that, because they don't know what that means. They're looking at it in terms of, I have a question for you, you're going to help me get the answer. They're not really looking at how you're going to get the answer in terms of, like, what each card is and what position it is. So charging by cards is not, in my opinion, the best way to do it, because most people that come for a reading don't know. They don't know how many cards they need. So, like, it can be difficult too, because a subject might be quite simple and you could do it in 3 cards, or it might be quite complicated and you need a lot more cards. And so, you know, 3 cards might take you 15 minutes. That's, you know, everyone varies, but yeah, that's a good time for 3 cards. You can probably do it in 15 minutes. Whereas 10 cards might take you an hour. So you shouldn't be, you know, don't go off the cards there for charging necessarily. Like, obviously, we can put together that 10 cards is probably going to be an hour, so then I should charge for an hour. But I think, like, I've seen people who charge, like, $1 per card. That's not enough, because you're probably spending an hour describing that 10-card spread, and you're doing it for $10. Please don't do that, okay? Please don't do that. It is not enough for the amount of work that you're putting in. It's not enough for the amount of effort that you're putting in. It's worth a lot more than that. But, yeah, someone might come to you and say, okay, can you look at this, like, really complicated question about my marriage, and this is going on with my marriage and I need help, what should I do, like, what's going on with the person I'm married to, what are they doing, you know, and it's in depth, and you can't do that in a short amount of time or a small amount of cards. You need to pull lots of different cards to look at different things, etc. You know, if you leave it up to them and say, well, this much for this many cards, then, you know, they're probably going to go for the least cards that they can, because it makes sense. Like, would you rather ask me this question and pay $3, or would you rather ask me this question and pay $10? They're going to want to pay $3. That's human. That's not them being, again, not them being a bad person. That's them taking that logical step of, yeah, I want to pay less money, right? So then you set yourself up for not being able to give a good reading, because you probably can't do a good reading on that complicated topic in 15 minutes with 3 cards. It's probably not enough. But you gave them the option of how many cards do you want, and they chose 3 cards, so now you're scrambling trying to get it in 3 cards, and yeah, you probably can't do it. I can't do it, okay? I've been reading for, you know, 15 years, and I would way rather use 10 cards or whatever, or however many cards I actually need for that complicated question, because I want to give them a good answer and I want to go in depth with them and give them as much insight as I can. And I can't do that when it's like a past, present, future three cards, or it's like really simple. It's not enough. Now, can I go into a reading and pull like one card and then delve into that card and go and talk for an hour because I let, you know, maybe intuitive things come through or whatever? Yeah, I actually can do that, but that's just something that I've built up, and I do it in a different way. That's not a traditional reading for me, and it still would take me a lot longer than that three card draw would, and I'd be charging for the amount of time that I actually took. So yeah, please don't do it like that, because like I said, most people don't know how many cards they need, and they're gonna go for the least amount of cards that they can for whatever the price is, because it makes sense. As the tarot reader, as the healer, as the whatever, and you know how much, you know, you might be interested in how many cards or whatever, but the client might not be, and they might not know. So please don't leave that in their wheelhouse. Just tell them what it is, you know. So if you know, figure out how long it takes you to do each thing that you do. So it takes me this much to do this much. This much to do this much. It takes 15 minutes to do 3 cards. It takes me an hour to do 10 cards. You know, whatever. Figure it out and then charge for time. You know, a $30 reading is $30. An hour reading is $60. A 15 minute reading is $15. Whatever you want to charge. That's not my prices, by the way. You can look at Etsy. I'm working on a private website for myself for services, but right now everything is on Etsy, or you'll see it when you come into the shop, the Four of Wands. But yeah, that's not my pricing. So feel free to copy my pricing if you want to. it's whatever. But yeah, you need to be really clear, and this is the thing with giving readings too. You just need to make it as simple and clear as you possibly can what you're going to do for this amount of money. So for $20, I am going to do this. For $60, I am going to do this. Or this is what you get for this amount of money. Make it really clear, really obvious. Just give it to them as in, this is what this costs. I promise you, people will be a lot happier with it because it's less confusing. People don't like being confused. If people are confused about money, they're not going to spend the money because they don't know, either they don't know what they're spending for, and that's not a good way that's not good business, or they just are like unsure of, well, do I need to pay this much or this much, and they're not going to spend it. They're going to find someone that lays it down more clearly. So yeah, please make it really clear how much you charge, and make sure you're charging enough. This is something that I am more than happy to talk to you about in like a spiritual guidance session. So with this, and I need to put this back in my shop too, it's not actually necessarily a tarot reading, in that I might pull some cards for it, or I might just go off, you know, the information I'm getting like through my guides or through your guides or whatever. But I'm more than happy to do a session with you and talk to you about your pricing, or talk to you about your business, or what, you know, what you want to do, how you want to do it, etc. I'm more than happy to do that. I do right now 1 hour sessions, which is $70 like off the bat, but then there's difference for like same day or scheduled readings. So I will be getting this back up in Etsy, and then I will post about it online, and I'll let you guys know too. I'm aiming to do it by next Tuesday, next podcast episode. But yeah, I'm more than happy to help you figure out business stuff, and to tell you what I know, and help you with that, because I always want to encourage other readers. I love having other readers. I love knowing other readers. I love encouraging people to become readers, because I know so many talented people that are really good at reading, often who have, you know, come through as clients, and I'm like, please read for people, because you have so much wisdom and you are so good and awesome at this, and I want you to do it. So I'm, yeah, like I said, absolutely down to help you become a professional reader. I do not like the idea of competition between readers. I don't see myself in competition with other readers, because that's like gross to me. I don't like it. Because there's different readers are good for different types of people, for different clients. And people who love me as a reader might not love your style. People who love you as a reader might not like my style. So they need those different options to go between, you know, and choose what's best for them. So I promise you, I promise, if you put your reading style out there and you offer your services as a professional reader and you're ready, if you're ready to, there will be clients for you who love you. I promise. I promise, right? I know lots of different types of readers who are just all across the board on what they're like, and they have clients who just adore them. So I know there'll be a place for you, and I'm more than happy to help you figure that out. But was that everything I wanted to say? I think so. I don't want this to get too super long, and it's already, you know, I think most of my episodes are like 40 to an hour, so we're probably in the good zone. But I hope this is helpful to you. I hope that it's useful. And yeah, I'm sending you so much love. If you have any questions or anything, please don't hesitate to drop me a line. You can find me on Instagram. It's at the Sacred Cocoon, all one word. And I want to spell the Sacred Cocoon because I just realized the other day how hard cocoon is to spell. Not maybe the best business name, but it's THESACREDCOCOON, the Sacred Cocoon. You can find me on Instagram, drop me a DM. My email is thesacredcocoon@gmail.com. Facebook is also the Sacred Cocoon. Drop me a line if you have any questions. Etsy is also the Sacred Cocoon. If you're looking for a reading, or you can email me about that too. I do charge 10% less if we do it directly through Venmo instead of through Etsy or PayPal, because Venmo takes a much smaller cut percentage of the price. So yeah, I'm more than happy to do that if you let me know. Or, you know, come see me at the Four of Wands on Fridays and Saturdays. Fridays I am there from 11 a.m. to 5:30. Sometimes I'm there longer. My last reading I take is usually about 5 though. But you know, if you're in the area, come see me. Or on Saturday, I'm there from 10:30 a.m. to usually around 4:30, last reading at 4. So send you so much love again. Bye for now.